yes, they didn't set limits. Are you a follower or a visionary? Can you handle the load that you were meant to carry? Cause we're on a mission, listen, it's beyond description. We don't want to fit in if we're living in a contradiction. We need a brand of passion that you can't imagine. Don't hesitate, rub the lamp, lad.
Welcome to Leaders and Managers Hub, the podcast, episode 8, coming to you from the Leaders and Managers Hub in Folkestone, Kent. I'm Ray.
And I'm Gary.
And I'm Lisa.
Hi guys, how you doing?
Really well, thank you.
Yeah, good. Very good. How are you, Ray?
Very good. So our topic for today is feedback, but before we get on to our topic, let's have a little conversation about what we've been up to for the last couple of weeks. Lisa, what have you been up to?
Well, I had to have a look at the diary because it's been, yeah, it's been heavily work orientated really for the last couple of weeks. It's been really busy. So, but one thing I did do this week was have a tenant coffee morning at the workshop. First one since I've been there. Mainly actually to get some feedback. So it's all kind of fitted in nicely this week, but it was really worth doing, just a sort of hour of their time. But as manager down there, to hear what they think of the workshop and what we could do better has been really good. So that was really worthwhile. And yeah, the next couple of weeks are all about getting a bit more balance back between life and work.
Very important, balance. Balance is very important. Gary, how about you?
Yeah, I've been having a few sort of social coffees and some meeting coffees, all around coffee. Feedback, having too much coffee. And that's been good. So I've been talking with people around video marketing and someone who's looking to launch an event. So I've just been giving them some thoughts around the content for that, but also some marketing. And I think I might have given them a little bit of a gem that they can use, but we'll see if they use it and what happens when it comes out. And also with my involvement with Eastcliff Creatives and Pebble and Sea, I also did my good deed of volunteering to look after the unit at 64 Old High Street, where they had a display for Holocaust Memorial Day. So the group did a project around the theme of Stand Together, and 500 people, including local groups and school children, were photographed, and their photographs were then put into a design of the Holocaust Memorial Day logo, just like a purple flame, and then that was put onto a banner, and that's been on display for the past week or so in the Old High Street. So it was nice just to have a couple of mornings just looking after the banner, and if people were coming in, just helping them to have a look around and explain the displays.
And that place is down the bottom of the Old High Street, opposite Bella Vita?
That's right, yeah.
Cool. I haven't had an opportunity to pop in yet, just because I haven't been around Folkestone during the week, but it's my intention at some point this coming week or next weekend to actually pop in and just have a look around.
Yeah, now there will be different displays coming up, so that one actually sort of finishes as we record today, but there'll be more things appearing in that space.
Jolly good. Well, for me, work has just been work. Won't bore you with that. We had some technical issues when we recorded episode 7, and we have resolved those now. And I want to give a particular shout out to Tim Smith at Seaview Studios in Folkestone, because he again stepped into the breach with some very helpful and free advice. So thank you very much, Tim. He actually pointed me in the direction of some online tutorials, and I realized that I wasn't actually doing anything wrong. I just wasn't doing it completely. So when I was saving the mix, the channel mix, I wasn't doing it correctly, and that's why we were having those issues. It was great to get the technical issues resolved, and hopefully that will allow us to move forward. And I'm constantly learning all the time about all this stuff, and it's a real fascination to me. So yeah, that's been my fortnight. So that was our weeks. Don't forget to rate and review us, folks, on whatever app or platform you access our podcast. If you use iTunes, give us a 5-star review. You know, it all helps. Give us your feedback. You can email us at podcast@leadersandmanagershub.com. So our topic for this week is feedback, and it's sort of leading on from episode 7, where we talked quite high level about communication. And over the next few casts, we're going to break that down and talk about some specific forms of communication that will be appropriate and applicable to people both in their workplace and also in their home life too, because, you know, communication is everywhere. Gary, in your best reading out voice from our well-prepared notes, can you just read us out the definition of feedback that we've got there?
So the definition we have here for feedback is that it is information about reactions to a product, a person's performance of a task, etc., which is used as a basis for improvement.
So we've just got some bullet points that we can work through, and obviously we're interested in everybody's anecdotes and their experiences and their personal preferences regards to these things. So why do we give feedback? So I had an experience a couple of years ago. I was working for an organization, and one of the members of staff from another department within that organization sought me out to ask me. She'd had an experience in her appraisal where something was brought up about her performance from like a period quite a long time prior to the appraisal, some 6 months or so, and it was that she had done something that was not correct at that time, and that was the first time that it had been mentioned to her. And I remember thinking, like, oh my God. And when I was, as I've said before on casts, I spend quite a bit of time accessing the Manager Tools podcasts, the two guys in the States, Mark Horseman and Mike Ozan. And they do a lot on feedback. Feedback is one of their, what they call the management trilogies. So the pillars of fundamental and effective management and leadership. And they talk about feedback in quite a constructive and very step-by-step way. And they make a valid point. I mean, the thing is, we constantly feed back to people, whether we do it intentionally or not, whether it's through our body language, a rolling of the eyes, a shake of the head. You know, we do it all the time. We are constantly providing feedback, and we are constantly receiving feedback. But in the workplace, and for better communication, it needs to be more specific and more directed, and it needs to be in and of the time. So as a manager, if you've got people who work for you, or even as a parent, if you've got children, or if you've got a spouse, partner, whatever, you know, if you have a reaction to somebody's behavior or their performance, you can't hold that in, because eventually these things will build up and build up and build up. So you've got to give that feedback to somebody. Now, feedback comes in two forms. It can be a positive affirmation of somebody's behavior or something that they've done in their performance, or it can be constructive feedback in terms of something that you would like them to change in terms of their behavior or their performance. So that's, for me, that's why we give feedback. Any thoughts or ideas on why we give feedback?
I think it's all around wanting to have a positive impact moving forward. Yeah, it depends what you're asking for feedback for. I give feedback to my son because I want him to change what he's doing most of the time, but also because I want a positive impact on how he does stuff in the future. I think as a manager, I want to be able to offer the best service I can at the workshop. So getting feedback on how we might be able to improve the services we do or things that we can change. Again, that's all about trying to move forward in a positive way. But I've been there as an employee and I've been there as a leader. And I think it needs to be focused, but you need it when the time's right and when it's relevant. So, yeah, that 6 month today, it's too late, because they've also spent another 6 months possibly doing more damage because they haven't been shown any different. And the business will, it'll be having an impact on the business as well. But you get on and get told you can make those changes. And I think especially where employees are concerned, it's all about helping them develop as well.
So it's all about improvement, whether it's a reinforcement of a positive behavior or it's about the adaptation of a behavior that isn't achieving the effect that you desire.
Yeah, absolutely. It just helps change everything, doesn't it? And people aren't always very good at dealing with change, but it doesn't have to be big changes. But I think if you've reacted to something to want to give feedback in the first place, then it's about listening to that and then coming up with the solutions of how things can change, how it can be improved for everyone involved.
And I would ask, if people don't necessarily see the benefit of why we should give feedback, I would just ask them the simple question that if they think of their relationship with their boss or their partner or whatever it might be, you know, wouldn't you prefer to get feedback? You know, here at the podcast, you know, we value feedback. It's how we constantly look to improve and, you know, deliver something that people actually are interested in listening to and they find value in. So, like, feedback is always worthwhile and appreciated. And again, in a work context, you know, you as an individual would, I'm sure, appreciate feedback from your boss, and therefore why should be any different for the people who work for you? They also need that feedback. As human beings, we just need it. Yeah. Because otherwise we don't know whether we're doing right or we're doing wrong. You know, sometimes you'll hear people say, "Oh, I never know what my boss is thinking about a particular thing." And that's not a good thing. As a boss, you're not there to be aloof. You're there to share your knowledge. But it always has to be from the perspective of, you know, I'm not trying to dig you out for the sake of it, or I'm not trying to nitpick at you. This is a constant, you know, one of the constant tools that we're going to use to drive performance.
Yeah, one of our previous employers, they introduced as part of our appraisal scheme or system at the time, was we had to appraise our manager. So as well as filling out our own stuff for our own appraisal, we had to appraise our manager with several questions. And at the time, I used to think, well, you felt like you didn't want to, couldn't be totally honest because it was going to them. But actually, it became a really good thing. And more so for when it came to their appraisal, that information got put forward to their boss, because they would often see them and they tick the boxes as to where the targets got met and all that useful stuff. But as a leader and a manager, they didn't always see that happening, because it was us as a team that they were sort of having their effect on. And it actually proved to be worthwhile, and it allowed them to develop as managers as well and kind of learn. You just had to have that relationship where you felt you could say really what you felt. And again, that would be different between each person, because some people would take things totally different to somebody else. But yeah, it became one really big system, but was really worthwhile because it allowed them to change as well, rather than just thinking, oh, that's my job and I'm doing all right.
Yeah, that's right. I think that's why many companies use like that sort of 360 approach, where it's not just a linear, you give feedback to this person, that person will give feedback to that person, and it's sort of compartmentalized, if you like. Whereas if you can open it up and say, well, actually, everything we do interacts with the whole of the organization at some level. So if our, as individuals, the way we work is having an impact on our team has an impact on another team within the organization. So I think that that approach, if it's set up right, and I think part of the issue with feedback and receiving feedback is many people might think, if someone says, oh, could I just give you some feedback, they're going to think I've done something wrong. They're going to, you know, it's going to be negative. So I think part of it is a cultural thing about being open around feedback, but also making that part of the culture and saying that this is how we are as an organisation.
I think it's about doing it a bit more as well, isn't it? So it's not just having that once a year. This is when everything gets said, and you can't say anything the rest of the year. It's about opening up and having new ways and different ways of giving feedback during the year as well.
Well, we're going to do a whole cast on appraisals, because that is a job in itself. And Yeah, so we'll tackle appraisals in and of themselves at a later date, because I know I've got a lot to say on appraisals. But so in terms of then the preparation and setting, so if you access the manager tools, guys, they make a very valid point, and I think this does need to be made. Like, don't suddenly come in, say, you know, the first Monday after Christmas and go, right, team, from now on, I'm going to start giving you feedback. You've kind of got to build up to it. And, you know, so you sit down with your team and you explain to them that, you know, you're improving as a manager, you're developing as a manager, and these are one of the tools you want to use. So you need to set the scene in terms of feedback. So you need to explain, and you need to be honest with yourself when you're explaining this, that it is coming from an effective and constructive position. It's not about digging people out, and it will be as much about promoting positive behaviors as it will be addressing ineffective behaviors, if you like. So I guess that the first thing they talk about is, they say, well, first of all, you need to be polite, and you need to actually ask the individual if you can give them some feedback. Now, some managers have an issue with this because they think, well, I'm the boss. If I want to tell somebody something, I'm not asking their permission. I'm going to tell them. But actually, if you ask somebody, can I give you some feedback? Yes, maybe initially their first reaction is, oh my gosh, what have I done? But over time, they'll actually start to understand where it's coming from and what an important part of the day-to-day it is. And so you might say to somebody, hey, can I give you some feedback? That presentation you gave in that meeting there was absolutely fantastic. You had the client captivated. You know, you really sold it to him well. That's really, really good. And I'm really pleased with that. And I want you to continue with that. And that's really, really good. It might be that you need to explain to somebody that, hey, in that meeting when the client was talking, you were sitting there rolling your eyes, or you were looking out the window. That's not really helpful, because it shows a bit of disrespect to our client and suggests that you're not engaged. I'd like you to do something about that. So that's in terms of preparation. You need to be absolutely clear with what your message is going to be when you're given the feedback, because you don't want any ambiguity. And we're certainly in the UK, we're very good at talking around things and not actually getting to the point of what it is. Mm. Now, I appreciate, as a manager, as a human being, we're not always comfortable with giving feedback, particularly if it's not positive feedback. Although one could argue that all feedback is positive if it's coming from a constructive, effective place. But sometimes it's one of the biggest challenges that we have as human beings, is to actually speak to somebody on a one-to-one basis and say, hey, you did something that I was displeased about, and I'd like you to address that behaviour.
I think whether it's positive or negative, though, if you spend the time or take the time out to have that conversation with somebody, it does add to their value and adds to them knowing why what they do and how they fit within the business, how they fit in, and yeah, puts value on the work they're doing. And so whether it's negative, but actually, like you say, that can become a positive. It's all about usually making a change. It just sort of emphasizes to them that what they do is valued and that they are part of that team and the wider business. So I don't think it's necessarily a bad thing. It is about how it's done. And yeah, being in front of a room full of people isn't always the best, but
yeah. Well, again,
yeah,
I mean,
it's getting the right environment.
The idea about setting is like so. That's one of the things, you need to know your people. So it's slightly easier probably with praise type feedback, because a lot of people prefer to be praised where other people can hear it, where they're part of a team, and you know, open plan. You know, you say well done or whatever. I personally prefer for that sort of feedback to be given one-to-one with nobody else there. But that's just an issue of mine that I need to address. But in terms of if you need to address a negative behavior or an ineffective behavior, then clearly there needs to be an element of sensitivity around that, and you don't want to do that in front of other people, because it then takes away from the message that you're trying to put across, and the person is more thinking about their how they look and appear in front of other people rather than actually the nature of the message, and it skews the way they receive that feedback then. So, you know, bawling somebody out in front of the office is never a clever thing to do, for sure.
Yes, and I think it's important how it is set out. So I think as an organisation, it's saying, you know, this is how we're doing feedback, this is why we're doing it, and this is how we're going to do it, so that there is some consistency. So obviously individual managers and staff can still, if you like, implement it in their own style, but it's within the framework of this is how we deliver feedback, so that it is always has a positive purpose. So it doesn't matter whether the feedback is saying, hey, you've done a fantastic job on that presentation or that negotiation, or whether it's we noticed that you've slipped up here, or I think it's just important that people know it's for a good reason, and it's for.
How many organizations do you think actually formalize it in that it's like part of their culture, and they actually maybe give some training to their leaders and managers on effective feedback? Because I know in the construction industry, like, feedback happens all the time. We're humans. We're constantly feeding back, whether it's directly or subliminally. But there's only a couple of organizations I've ever worked with where it was formally identified as a management tool, and that there was particular emphasis given on getting it right and supporting managers to give feedback. What's your experience, guys?
When I worked years ago, I worked for a local college, which obviously is kind of within government stuff. So their systems were in place. They were in place quite well, and that kind of ran through the organisation. I think the biggest stumbling block, I think smaller businesses that I've worked with don't necessarily have very much at all, or it becomes the opposite and it's kind of free flowing all the time because there's not many of them. But I think the biggest trouble comes is when you're getting people moving up the ranks and they suddenly become from a team member to maybe a team leader into management, and without formal training, they don't get any help with how to do feedback and talk to people. And I think that's probably where the biggest loss is, and then it doesn't happen. So unless they've got their own experience and they really try to implement things themselves because they know how valuable it is, I think it's probably a skill that may not be taught to staff.
And it is a skill.
It is, and it takes practice.
And it requires practice,
like
absolutely.
You say, especially being able to give good feedback is a lot easier than having to give some negative. And actually, even with the negative, it's more about trying to find out, okay, well, yeah, they might not be doing something quite right, but it's more about finding out or having that dialogue with them then to say, right, but why isn't it happening? Is there something we're not doing to help you do that properly? Or is there a bit of training you're missing out on? And that's where the practice and skill comes in, is kind of the questioning skills, I suppose, to get to the bottom of why the negative feedback's there in the first place. Because it could be something you're doing as an employer that's not great, which is development then for them. So,
yeah. Well, I mean, what's your experience in journalism, Gary?
My first sense of business is probably that it's not something that is a formal part of what they do, that this is something that is structured, we've got a set up for it. It's just something that it kind of happens, but it's probably very inconsistent, and some people in the organisation will do it well and others not so well. So I think, and as we said, it's a skill, and I think it is something that should be part of the organisation as much as a formal appraisal, as much as you have a process for making a product or delivering a service. You know, there should be a process for the feedback delivery as well. I was going to talk about when I was managing a mentoring program in a secondary school, where you're actually required to, provide feedback through regular supervisions, for example. So you know, there wasn't actually a choice. You know, this was part of the setup, was that you would provide regular meetings with your team of mentors to not only see how they're getting on, but also in terms of, you know, what challenges or problems have they got with, you know, working with some of the students. Because obviously if you're working in a, I suppose a bit like, you know, if you're in counselling or therapy, it's like you're going to be dealing sometimes with some difficult stuff. So how do you then offload that? So having those sessions is really useful, but also an opportunity to just get that regular feedback from someone, because you as a manager may have a view of things and say, well, you know, it seems to be going all well, and someone else might say, oh, actually I could do with a bit more of this, or you know, this isn't so great. And I was like, oh great, I hadn't realised that, so let's see what we can do about that. So that was helpful. Within journalism, yeah, feedback is normally, if it's down to the work, you know, it just gets either, you know, sent back to you, or redone. Or, and I have had an editor shout across the room at me because something we wanted to put together just didn't like it at all.
And I suppose a lot of your work in that industry now, especially with a lot of video stuff, because so much of it goes online now, the feedback's almost instant, depending on what people share with other people, what they comment on. So whether they're tweeting or just leaving comments, that's almost instant feedback in that industry now, isn't it? And that can be negative and positive.
Yes. I mean, and that's the same for many things. Same within sort of marketing. You get that, you know, if you've put together a sales funnel or a campaign, you get to see the results straight away through, you know, the click-throughs, open rates, and people clicking to buy and so on. So you do get that instant feedback. And going back to education, I mean, kids are just great for giving you feedback. You know, when I was delivering study skills seminars in schools across the UK.
And they're not scared to give negative.
No, but you get a feel. If you've got 40 kids in the room, you just get that vibe straight off them, you know, and from their body language, you can see whether they're, you know, are they into this? Are they, you know, are they arms folded? Is it kind of, you know, really? Yeah. Or is it, we're bored, move it on? I think that's great. So I think if we can have that sense of, you know, the kids, and get that more into the adults and say, yeah, it's actually okay to give feedback. And and I think what you were saying earlier, Ray, yeah, I think we do like to know, kind of, you know, how am I doing? You know, hopefully on a good thing. But yeah, it's nice to know, A, you're doing a good job, or B, you know, is there something I'm doing that could be better? And because you may not be aware of it yourself. So I think that's one of the things where you can get feedback from, you know, someone's able to step back and say, you know, I've noticed this about you. You know, you're really good at this. And wow, if you could do this as well. That'd be super.
One of the interesting words you used there was consistency, and that's another point that the manager tools guys really drive home, is that if you start giving feedback, you need to be consistent. And our next point is around timing. So like when we talk about, I think timing and consistency are actually key. Again, as Lisa alluded to earlier, it needs to be in the moment, or as close to the moment as possible. Like if you've ever had an experience of training a puppy dog, and the puppy dog does a little poop or a little pee-pee on the floor, there's no point in admonishing the little puppy dog 3 weeks later, because, like, you know, the world has changed. Anyone who's got children would know this as well. Like, you talk to a child about something that happened 15 minutes ago, they won't even remember it. They haven't got a clue what you're on about. And so the feedback becomes entirely ineffective, because it just becomes noise. Or daddy or mummy's just shouting again. And shouting's never a good thing with kids anyway, because they just switch off. But it's amazing that we've all done that as children, and yet as parents we still shout.
But I think that's really key, even with sort of new starters at companies and stuff as well. If you've got really good induction processes in place, which I think some people are great at, and there's probably some that wouldn't have a clue what that means, but I think that that start of a job for anybody, which often you've got probation in place and you might meet with them once a month for the first 3 months, that is all about that feedback. But that whole induction process is almost constant feedback, because you want them to be able to get the job right and know what they're doing. And it's that sort of thing that probably could be rolled out on a larger scale in a lot of companies. But it's almost like, oh, let's get induction done. Great, they know what they're doing now. Move on. And then there probably almost isn't anything in place to continue that. But if you've already started that dialogue and they're feeling comfortable to come back and say, I'm not quite sure about that, or you're able to comfortably say to them, this needs changing, that would be a really good time to kind of be able to carry it on as a... Yeah, process, and every day should be like that, really.
And in terms of the consistency, I think that's vital, because, you know, if you just ad hoc give a bit of feedback every now and again, it doesn't... This is all about building up a relationship and a constant communication. And, you know, when you start off, it's going to feel real awkward. You're probably going to be out of your comfort zone. And probably the easiest thing to do will be to give it up, because you won't always get it right. Sometimes it will go badly wrong. But at the same time, it is a skill, and skills need to be practiced and honed, and you will absolutely get better with it. So I think being consistent with it, once you've embarked upon the road of, right, it's going to be a very obvious tool that I'm going to use as a manager, you need to keep up that level of consistency, and it needs to be consistent across all your people. So it's not a case of, you know, just praising all of your top performers and admonishing your lowest performers. It's about making sure that it is equal and balanced as well within that.
Absolutely, and getting that mix as well. So you're not just giving someone always positive feedback. It's because there's always room for improvement. So it is, and it doesn't have to be a big thing. It could just be like an incremental thing that someone could do just that little bit better. So that's all part of the feedback. Feedback should just be feedback. But I think it is, because of the perceptions of it, as Lisa was saying, I think induction's a perfect place to introduce...
To lay the ground rules and the foundations for it.
Well, the company culture, isn't it?
That's right.
This is how we like to do it, and this is why we want the constant sort of feedback in place, because it's good for everybody.
But I'd also encourage, you know, if your company doesn't have a recognised culture and doesn't have, like, a recognised process for it, that is no reason not to, as an individual manager, start to do feedback within your team. I think, you know, you can't sit back and go, oh, well, I'm not going to do it because the company doesn't value it. You as a manager, if you do value feedback and the positive effects it can have, then you should champion it within your organization. But, you know, we're very interested to hear other people's experiences of you know, whether they find feedback useful, you know, what's worked for them, what hasn't worked for them.
I think the biggest thing that can stop people giving feedback is not seeing anything come from it. So you get asked for feedback, which is great. So you think, oh, this is when things are going to change. Especially at a time like an appraisal or through, I don't know, you've been given a service and it wasn't particularly great. I think people give up their time to give feedback. If they don't see anything done with that feedback, that's when you get people kind of stopping bothering almost, because they think, well, what's the point of me answering their little questionnaire or having a conversation if nothing's going to change? And I think feedback encourages change, which is brilliant, but when you don't see it, then that's probably when you just get people sort of putting a bit of a block on it and just think, oh, I just won't bother. What's the point?
Yeah, in rail construction, we have a thing called close call reporting. And the idea is that it's about early identification of potential health and safety issues. Mm. But it's kind of branched out from that, and it's not just about health and safety issues. It's also about promoting good practice and stuff like that. But it's a constant challenge, you know. Senior people within the industry are constantly challenging us to, you know, we need to have more feedback if you want more close calls raised. And so, you know, one of the things that I've encountered over my working career, again, is exactly that. So if people are constantly raising, for example, safety concerns, if they don't see anything being done about it, then they don't see the value in actually taking the time to report it in the first place. And there's an awful lot of incentive schemes now around, particularly around best practice or good practice that's demonstrated, to actually reward people for that and to actually say, okay, also, it's a kind of a you said we did mentality. So here's a report at the end of every month. You know, these are the top five issues or trends that were raised on the close call reporting, and this is what we've done about them. And it might be a case of, you know, people are constantly reporting that a particular method that they use makes the job very, very difficult. So you look into that and you might come up with a better method, because as part of that process, it's almost like a consultative process as well. So you go back to the people who've been raising those particular concerns and you say, okay, what do you think we could do to improve this situation? And more often than not, they'll actually have the answer for you. You just need to give them the forum and the confidence that actually you're willing to listen. And again, that's another thing with feedback. You know, if you are the receiver of feedback, you have to be willing to listen to it and accept it and appreciate it for what it is. And again, I reiterate, you know, we really value feedback here, and we wish we had more of it. So, you know, please get in contact with us at podcast@leadersandmanagershub.com. I won't get tired of saying it, folks. So in terms of method then, and there's all sorts of different, you know, if you go online, there's all sorts of different sort of advice on methods. For me, I like to try and keep it short and sweet. So obviously I will ask the person if I can give them some feedback, and more often than not they say yes. So I like to say, this was the behavior, this is how it made me feel, and this is what I want you to do about it. Three, short, sharp. So you were in the meeting and you were rolling your eyes when everybody was talking. That really annoyed me because I felt that you were disrespecting the meeting and my meeting. And I want you to change that behavior. I want you to come into the meeting prepared, positive, engaged, and willing to take part. So I've told you what your behavior was. I've told you what it meant to me in terms of feeling. And I've told you what I want you to do to improve that. Similarly, if it's positive feedback, you did this particular piece of work. I was absolutely delighted and ecstatic when I read it, because it gave me everything I needed. And I really want you to do more of that. It's absolutely fantastic. So again, behavior, reaction, and then outcome. And that's my preferred method. How about you guys?
Yeah, I mean, that's a logical way of...
Oh, I'm Boolean logic, me. I'm ones and zeros.
Yeah. No, and you've got to start somewhere, haven't you? But the whole kind of point with feedback is that it opens up conversation about something. And
like, but say, is it a conversation?
You're reacting to something, or... Yeah, that's what it's all about. So I think it's quite a good way of dealing with it. And yeah, there's no point in having the conversation if there isn't going to be some form of outcome. And I think in somewhere in there, especially when it comes to anything sort of more people related or service related, it is kind of finding out, well, why were they like that? Especially in that meeting setting, it's like, did you not want to be there? Are you not bothered? Because it could be something within their job. It could actually be part of something bigger that, as a lead or manager, we're not aware of, that's been causing problems. So it might actually end up with lots of other stuff to deal with. But
sure. And if they come back to you and say, Lisa or Ray or whatever, you know, I feel like I can't contribute to the meeting, or I feel that it's out, you know, over my head, or whatever it might be, like, that's okay. because then you deal with that.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you have expressed, your feeling and your desire for a change or a continuation of a particular behaviour.
And they you're might not even know they're doing them. It. That's the thing.
Absolutely.
So, the amount of people that, yeah, especially body language, they just, it replicates what's going on in their head. So sometimes I think, yeah, there's definitely people I've sat around and I'm thinking, do they realise that's how they're coming across? And mm-hmm. I don't think they even have a clue.
The pen clickers, they're the ones.
it might be an opportunity as well to open up the conversation. So you might say, right, this is the behavior you've exhibited. Yeah. This is how it made me feel. Can you tell me a little bit about why you're exhibiting that behavior?
Yeah.
And you start to explore it a little bit more. For me, once you've given the feedback, it is then for me down to the individual. They can do one of three things. They can either take on board the feedback and make the change or continue the positive behavior. They can come back to you and explain to you maybe why the behavior is happening, because as you say, there might be an absolutely valid reason. They might just feel vulnerable and a little bit out of their depth in the meeting. Who knows? There can be all sorts of reasons, or they might just have been having a bad day, or they can completely ignore the feedback, and then it becomes a performance management issue more than just an initial piece of feedback. But it initiates that conversation and gives the person those three options in which to operate in.
Yeah.
And I've got no problem with people coming back to me and saying, okay, but I'd like to explain my behavior. And I'll listen to their explanation. And if there's something in there that we can work with, great. If they're just trying to make an excuse for it because they don't see a problem with it, then that's a different discussion that we're going to have following. But yeah, there is nuance in there for sure. But you got to work on some sort of a framework. I work better when I've got a framework to work to.
Yeah. And I think, like Gary touched on it, I think that starts building into what you want as your business's or company's culture. And if people know that's how it works, then they know what to expect and they know how to come forward with feedback as well, which so some sort of system or process is key, I think, with anything
The danger is if you have people doing it different ways, is you get that inconsistency for a start. But also it could be that someone says, well, I know how to give feedback, I don't need that method or that system, and then it starts the way they do it might not be appropriate or actually be what we would regard as feedback. It might be that, you know, well, I just shout at them, or you know, I just I just tell them, you know,
I just roll my eyes at them.
Exactly. Yeah. Or just you know you could start sort of, you know, laying into them and saying, you know, you're doing this again. That's the umpteenth time. How many times do I have to tell you? And that's, you know, not necessarily productive, helpful, because, how's that going to make the other person feel or respond? I mean, Ray was talking, you know, ultimately it's about outcomes. You know, what is the change? What is the difference? How is this going to improve things? Because if it's not going to do any of those, what's the point?
That's the key thing. So, and this comes back to the preparation and setting. You need to set this up so that people are absolutely clear that none of this is personal. It's all about improving ourselves as a team, as a high-performing team. And as part of that conversation, if you've explained to people that your vision is that everybody's going to be happy, I'm going to improve your happiness at work. And one of the ways I'm going to do that is I'm going to constantly give you feedback so that you can improve your performance. And some of that improvement will be by doing exactly the same thing that you've just done because it was absolutely top drawer. And some of it's because we're going to need you to change something or tweak something slightly. If people feel that they're in a mature, high-performing team and that it's coming from a place of goodness and a place of empathy, then it's a much easier conversation to have because they know that you're not just having a bad day and wanting to dig somebody out. So you also have to, before you even embark on this, you have to challenge your own self. And you mentioned it in the last cast, Gary, about being self-aware. You need to have a self-awareness as a manager about exactly the behavior that you're exhibiting, and constantly be giving yourself feedback and checking in on yourself. Am I giving people mixed messages? Because the risk is, again, with communication, it comes in two forms, direct and subliminal. And, you know, if you read Abe Wagner's The Transactional Manager, he talks about, you know, if you say it straight, you won't deliver it crooked. You know, the message that's coming out of your mouth will be the same message that your body's telling. But if you're not being straight and honest, then what comes out of your mouth will be belied by everything else that you do. So there is this comes with a tacit understanding that, you know, you've already been through this self-awareness and thought process with yourself, because you want to improve as a manager. You know, at the end of the day, if that's not your primary concern, then probably none of this is of any particular value to you.
And it's really important that the execution of this feedback method or process or structure or culture, that is done and people see it being done. I mean, I remember, for example, again, when I was working in a secondary school and we had an Ofsted inspection, and they come in before they come in to just address the school and tell you a bit about what to expect. And I, from my experience of this experience, I can see why many teachers are very cynical about the inspection process, because we had the lead inspector come in and saying, we really want to find about how amazing you are and brilliant you are, and, you know, please don't worry, we're on your side. And then I think after a couple of days, and they realized that, oh, the school is actually pretty really good, we can't find any fault with it. The nature of the inspection over the next couple of days then changed. It seems as if a whole different group of people had come in, and it really changed the atmosphere. And so I think that, you know, if you're going to come in and say, deliver an expectation, and then you don't deliver on it, you're going to lose all trust and respect, and you're really going to put people's backs up. So I think it's important that if you're saying, hey, we're the champions of feedback, and then you don't really do it, or you do it a bit here, a bit there, and, well, we'll do it for Fred, but, you know, not for Jane, then, you know, it all starts to fall apart there.
It devalues.
It does.
And that's the same for most management tools that we talk about, whether it's one-on-ones, feedback, coaching. If you don't do it fully and actually live it, it carries no weight. It becomes inconsistent, ad hoc, and effectively worthless. And again, you know, I keep referring back because I am a parent. You know, you can't be admonishing your children one day for, you know, playing loud music, and then the next day, because you're having a particularly good day, the sun's shining, actually you're not too bothered, because that just gives a mixed message. And, you know, if you give a mixed message to somebody, whether they're a child or an adult, don't be surprised if their behavior out of that is also mixed and confused. And one of the things that really fires me up is when I hear managers say, but I spoke to him about that 6 months ago. Okay, and has he exhibited that behavior in the 6 months after? Well, yeah. So why are you only now getting angry about it again? You know, did you not sit him down and have a conversation about it? Well, no, because I told him about it 6 months ago. Yes, but if the next opportunity he exhibited the same behavior that displeased you in the first place and you didn't choose to say anything about it, you know, you can't. And again, this comes back to the timing. It has to be in and of the moment. Yeah. Now, sometimes that's not always easy, because sometimes we work remotely from some of our people. But at the earliest opportunity, you have to be able to give that feedback to somebody.
It's part of having that sort of review and checking in on stuff like that as well, because I think needs to be part of the process. Because if something's come in and you've agreed changes, you need to be able to go back and check on that in a month or whatever, so that they realise that it wasn't just a conversation, that actually, yes, we've put some changes in, we now need to check that those changes are working. And yeah, rather than just thinking, yeah, that's one conversation done, I can forget about that now. That's been told. And that's probably where things would have an impact. And if it's not quite working, it's that sort of trial and test phase of everything, isn't it? It's sort of like, okay, well, let's give this a go. And kind of having that agreement with them, and also that opens up that even in that short space of time, if they feel that something's not working, that they can come back to you sooner and continue that feedback process.
Yes. And that's what occurs in a mature, respectful relationship, whether it's at home or at work or whatever it might be. So I guess in terms of outcomes, then, we've already pretty much talked about the outcomes, in that it needs to be all about continual improvement. And it's not about digging people out. There needs to be some outcome. And as you said, Lisa, you know, if you receive feedback, say, from a work site about some particular issues that are causing them, making life harder for them, you know, it's the responsibility of the manager or the company to then come back to those people and say, okay, you've given us this feedback, this is what we're going to do about it.
Yeah, it gives me a chance to, yeah, go and kind of analyse what's going on and come up with the possible solutions, because as tenants, they're not going to see or know what the limitations are, maybe on what is possible with things like layout and or budget. It could be all sorts of stuff. So
can we knock down these walls?
Yeah, it's like, we want this. It's like, there's a little bit more to it than that.
Can we just hammer through a little hatch?
But it gives
there.
Me the chance to be able to go and have a proper think about it, discuss it with whoever I need to discuss it with, and then go back to them and say, right, we can't quite do that, but we can do this. Mm-hmm. And this is what we're going to do.
Mm-hmm.
And see. So, yes, that whole thing of you said, we did, is something we're encouraging.
And it's all part of that communications, because it's not just the feedback, it's yeah, what's happening after the feedback. If people are, as Lisa was saying, if you keep saying, you know, there's a problem with this, and then nothing happens, particularly if it's something that's important or significant, you know, that's not good. Some things can be minor. You know, it's like, you haven't changed the wallpaper.
It's keeping them informed, I think that's key. And it's valuing their knowledge, because I know for a lot of our tenants, they're out and about in other offices and other locations, and I haven't necessarily got time to do that. But if I can learn from them what they're seeing outside of the workshop, which we might be able to bring in to improve the workshop, brilliant. That's what I need to know. Saves me a lot of time on websites and scouring Pinterest and all those various things. But yeah, to get their feedback, and actually some feedback of or comments that they've come in with, that the stuff they have seen in other setups, they've almost thought it's just totally ridiculous as well. So I could be having an idea thinking, oh, wouldn't that be great? And actually hearing from a couple of them, like, that's just so ridiculous. Like, yeah, it was, I think it was iPads on treadmills and stuff. And I just thought, how's that going to work? That will not be happening at the workshop, but it's,
you
yeah,
have treadmills at the workshop?
No, we don't, but I've seen them in other places. So, but that was one of the ones that I saw and just thought, how does that even work? You know what I mean? It's kind of almost sort of taking it beyond.
I mean, I can understand hamster wheels, because yeah, that's an analogy for my working life, hamster
yeah,
wheels.
We've got a slide. We have got a slide. So, yeah, there's all of that. But for me, in my manager's position, it's definitely about wanting the workshop to be the best place possible. So, yeah, those ideas and that can only come from the people there, really.
And what about feedback as a consultant or an individual contributor? Like, Gary, what's your experience? You're an individual contributor in the consultancy work that you do. How is feedback managed in that sort of a scenario?
So from clients?
Well,
typically if somebody's thinking of working with me, then they'll talk about their business and the marketing and what they're looking to achieve, and then they'll say, you know, we need X, Y, and Z. And then I think for some people that's at the point where they say, well, that's great, my price for X, Y, and Z is this. I actually have a next level conversation about, let's just have a look and see whether X, Y, and Z is actually what you need before we start pricing things, because it might be that there's a better way for you to, you know, invest in something else. I wouldn't want to just do something just for the sake of it, which isn't going to you know, benefit your company and your marketing investment. And then, so then from there, then it, I would then sort of, having had that discussion, would go away and I would put together a proposal, and then it's I'd invite them to you know, give me feedback on that. Either yes, go ahead, no, not interested at all, or maybe not, you know, we can't quite afford that, but maybe there's a discussion about, oh, but we could afford this, what could we get for that price, or actually we've had a rethink and actually we still want to go back to XYZ. So that's probably the way it works then. And then when the work's being done, normally there's one or two revision sets allowed for the copy that's been written, so then people can see what's there, they can give the feedback, I can make the changes. If there's changes I really disagree with strongly, I'll advise them of that, but at the end of the day it's their investment, so they can say that's how we want it on the page. So I just advise them, you know, why I wouldn't do that. But and then the work goes out and they can choose to use it or not. Some clients actually buy the work and then don't use it, or they put their own changes on it afterwards. The feedback is in levels of inquiries and leads and sales.
Yeah. I've had previous jobs where I've helped set up systems for feedback because they weren't asking for any, which, when especially when you're offering services, I think it's key. And it's a lot easier now with even just being able to sort of encouraging people also to leave reviews on Facebook pages, Google, all of those that are available. But I worked in lettings for a long time, and we set up so that it wasn't constant because we didn't want to bombard them with endless online surveys, but we would quarterly do a big review with our landlords, for example, to make sure that they were quite happy with what service they were getting. And then we'd go out and do the similar with all the maintenance jobs that had come in. We would then pick a percentage of them every month that we would go back to the tenants to get their feedback. So that gave us feedback on not only how we'd handled it, but also on our contractors to make sure that the people we were using were still good. So there was sort of different layers of it, and that was purely on the service, more without even looking at what we put in place for staff and managers. But it was key, and without getting that information back, we wouldn't have ever really known how to change our service, other than for the legal stuff which had to be done, yeah, to make us unique and stand out against other competitors. We had to know what we were good at and what to improve, and yeah, it was worthwhile doing, but I don't think everyone does it.
Yeah, I've used surveys as well. Helpful. They're not bulletproof. They give an indication, because it's a bit like, I suppose, any survey. If you say to someone, you know, would you be interested in something? Most people will say, oh yeah, I might be. But it's then trying to understand what level of interest there is. But it helps you to understand what people's challenges, concerns are. And then you can, you know, create the product or service around that, and then test that.
Key is going back to people. If they've given time to provide feedback or ideas, it's going back to them to say, yeah, you put forward this suggestion, we can't quite do it yet, or it's part of a bigger plan. And yeah, I think it's key is going back to them to let them know that the time they gave up to give the feedback has been worthwhile.
Yeah, I mean, it's also quite key in, and I would just sort of sideline into recruiters. So people who are responsible in organizations for recruitment, you know, you're effectively dealing with people's lives. And I think the very least you can do is acknowledge somebody's job application or, you know, their interview, whether they've been successful. Well, obviously you let them know if they've been successful, but also if they've been unsuccessful and why. You know, because it may be that, okay, maybe that person is not for you, but they might have a conversation with somebody else and they say, oh, you know, that company's really good. You know, I didn't get a job with them, but they gave me some really constructive feedback. And, you know, so they're obviously, you know, quite a generative organization, mature organization. And that person that they've just spoken to, you know, might be in the future a great asset to that company. Whereas if you're sitting amongst your friends and you go, oh, you know, that company, they didn't even acknowledge my job application. You know, they gave me nothing. I went for an interview. I never heard another thing. Like, that reflects badly on you. And, you know, especially if you're a company that provides a service, you know, you're not going to get recommendations from those people. And I think as a courtesy, it's the very least that organizations can do is to give job seekers feedback. Because, again, it's all about continual improvement. You know, whether it's like maybe feedback on their CV or whether it's feedback on their interview technique or the fact that maybe they didn't have the appropriate skills or whatever. It's just a polite, mature and honest way to go about your business. And you know,
it seems the quite common just to see something which says, you know, because of the, you know, number of applications we have, we won't necessarily, you know, reply to you, which seems to be a bit of a kind of cop out, unless you're like, you know, how many thousands of applications are you getting for that role? But also, as you say, in the feedback, sometimes it's just, you know, sorry, you know, it seems to be the only feedback you get is, you know, well, we received, you know, a lot of really good applications. It doesn't actually say, you know, what could I have improved about mine, or what was the thing that meant I couldn't go through to the next stage.
Yeah.
You never receive that. So it and as you say, that would be really valuable feedback if they just said, you just haven't met criteria 1, 2, and 3 straight away. So unfortunately, you know, that's just a factual thing. So unless you're able to, you know, get this qualification, or which is an essential requirement or something like that, you don't know. It's just
I've got a friend who went for an interview with a large contracting company before Christmas for a role that was supposed to start in early January. She had some initial feedback through the agency that basically they wanted her to have the job, which she accepted the initial verbal offer, and she hasn't heard a thing since from that company. Now, I know that company, and I certainly won't be singing their praises to anybody in the industry, because I think that's just poor. You come back and say to somebody, oh, you know, we've had to delay the appointment or whatever it might be, or ultimately, no, you weren't successful or whatever, but to just have a wall of silence,
yeah, it's just
is leaving
just someone hanging,
appalling.
Isn't it? Because yeah. They could be missing out on other opportunities because they think
absolutely
they've got a job.
And if they came back to her now and said, oh, yeah, you can start, you know, in a week's time, you really think she's going to want to work for you now? Like, just poor, poor, poor. But anyway, you know, that happens a lot. That happens such a lot. And if your organization does that, take a look at yourself, folks. Come on. Come on. Stop it now.
That's our feedback for you.
That's our feedback for you. Stop it now. Give it up. Give it up. So just to summarize then, I guess what we're saying is, you know, you need to be absolutely sure that your feedback is coming from a good, positive place. You need to think about it in terms of your preparation and your setting, if it's direct feedback to a direct report. Or if, as an organization, you want to start having a culture of feedback, you need to make sure that there's some thought gone into it. It needs to be in terms of timing and consistency. You know, you need to make sure that all these things are put in place. You need to make sure that people have adequate training to be able to give effective feedback. In terms of method, you know, again, it's a skill. You need to practice it. Practice, 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 practice. You know, you're not going to get worse at it, put it that way. And again, in terms of outcome, you know, you really need to be clear on what your outcomes are that you want. And if you're an organization that's seeking feedback, you know, you need to be prepared then to feedback again to the people who've given you feedback, whether it's a you said we did or thank you very much or, you know, these are the improvements we're going to make.
Yeah. And I think the only other thing I'd add to that is if the feedback is anything regarding someone and their actual job role, that there is some record kept of those conversations. It doesn't need to be as formal as any kind of minutes, but my experience within a few organisations and actually quite recently, issues have come up at a higher level when it's come to a disciplinary or stuff related with a job. And without that record of certain conversations having taken place, being able to hold stuff on either side has been really difficult because they haven't been able to prove that they had the discussion that this wasn't happening quite right. Well, so
just on that though, Lisa, I would say, so if I gave somebody feedback, you know, on a particular behavior, say an ineffective behavior, you'll get it once, you'll get it twice, you might even get it three times, and then we go into performance management, and that's when it starts to get documented, because now we're sitting down and we're having a proper conversation about, I've given you feedback on three occasions about this and nothing's changing, what's going on? Now we're having a documented conversation, because it, like, as I say, for me, feedback's a very in the moment sort of local thing where you say, you know, well done, keep going, or can we do this a little bit differently because it's really not working for us or whatever. If the person is then still not willing to make the changes that you as a manager feel they need to make, then that's a performance management conversation. And that's when you sit down, or certainly from my perspective, that's when I would then sit down and we go, this is going on your file, this conversation. Or it's certainly going as some record somewhere.
Yeah.
Because, you know, and again, the manager tools guys do a whole cast on what if you get pushback on your feedback. And, you know, it's a great resource, people. I really encourage you to get in touch with them. We'll put a link again on the show notes for this one, and you can access them. They're really good. Maybe I associate with them because, again, they're very logical and very methodical, and that just suits me. But everybody's got their own style. But you know, again, the key points of it remain the same no matter what your method is, in terms of you need to prepare for it and it needs to be timely and consistent and everything else. And we'll get on to in another cast about performance management as well, because that's a whole different area that I think companies don't necessarily go to quick enough, or managers don't go to quick enough. They let things go and go and go and go, and then it becomes a major issue. Whereas, again, you know, a performance management conversation could be, look, I've spoke to you about that three times, nothing's changed, what's going on? Come on, let's have a conversation. And it could be as simple as that. Because it might be that somebody's got and again, if you're having regular one-to-ones with your people, you start to understand what their personal projects and what their personal pressures are. And it might be that you can correlate some connection between the behavior and something else that's going on. And you might be able to cut that person some slack. But you have that conversation with them to say, I'm cutting you some slack because of. Incredible. Okay, so any other business for this week? Lisa, have you got any other business that you'd like to share?
I don't know if I have this week. I just need to get that balance back. I think it is, well, it's a whole nother subject really, but I think having taken on the job in October and gone from self-employment to working full-time again, there's been some big changes and we're getting there with the changes, but I think the changes have impacted on life more than I thought it would. So this next couple of weeks is all about getting some of that back and getting some of the sort of stuff for me back into the week rather than it just being about work.
And it'll make a better you at work as well.
Yeah, and I think that's what I learnt being self-employed, giving myself the time to go to the gym. Actually, I will put to the bottom of the list when stuff gets busy because it's for me. But actually, you're quite right. I actually end up with a better me when I've been to the gym and taken that time out just to do that stuff. So, yeah, that's what it's all about the next couple of weeks.
We'll do that as a cast separately because you get this a lot where people end up throwing themselves into work for whatever reason. Sometimes it's actually to avoid some personal pressure that's going on, but actually by doing that they're just discounting themselves. And as a manager you need to be mindful of these sorts of things because you need to have the best of people. And if people are happy and balanced in their lives, you'll get a lot more from them than if they're in the office for 20 hours a day because they don't want to go home or whatever it might be. Yeah. You know, and it's like, I suppose we probably all know that you can only be productive and effective for so many hours in a day, and you need to have the best of people walking through your door, and that means that you are invested in their lives outside of work as well, as a manager or as an employer, as a leader. Gary, any other business?
I think I'm good actually for today.
Okay.
That's just my own personal feedback, of course.
You're very good. Nervous about the rugby this afternoon?
Always.
Okay, as we're recording this, England are playing France this afternoon in the Six Nations. For me, again, I just want to reiterate, like, thanks to Tim Smith. The guy's been an absolute godsend with his technical advice, and that's been really, really good. And I would just like to encourage some feedback from our listeners. You know, we want to know what you want to hear. We want to know your experiences, your opinions, your thoughts, your ideas. Get in touch with us at podcast@leadersandmanagershub.com. So that's it. Episode 8 in the can. Thank you very much, guys.
Thank you.
And we will catch you in a fortnight.
They never second guessed, they didn't set limits. Are you a follower or a visionary? Can you handle the load that you were meant to carry? Cause we're on a mission, listen, it's beyond description. We don't want to fit in if we're living in a contradiction. We need a brand of passion that you can't imagine. Don't hesitate, rub the lamp aloud.